Chapter 3. It's our delight to have each of you here this morning. And as I just welcome each of you, can I take a moment to introduce to you, dear ministers in our area, would you welcome as they stand, Reverend and his wife, Joy Owens. Would Dennis and Joy please stand, and let's give them a welcome to Dominion Church. Acts chapter 3. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation in just a moment, but first I'd like to read to you something. I believe this is one of those kinds of things that stirs up the eye of the tiger in me. It kind of brings out the Rocky inside of me. How many of you know that each and every one of us were destined and designed, not just destined, but designed to be champions? That you don't have to be a boxer to be married. I mean, you don't have to be a boxer to be a champion. You don't have to get in the ring in this realm in order to be thrust into the realm of a spiritual war that requires you to learn how to be a fighter, an overcomer, and a conqueror. So each of us have this nature, this design, this destiny within our hearts, and that is to be a champion. And from time to time, certain songs, certain writings, certain things say to the champion inside of me, it's a good day to be great. I'd like for you to just turn to about two or three people and just speak prophetically in their life and tell them, it's a good day to be great. Now, my daughter Taylor is laughing because each day that I drop her off at school, we part with me saying to her, it's a good day to be great. And so this does this. This brings out that desire to be great in us. It begins by saying, don't spend major time with minor people. If there are people in your life that continually disappoint you, break promises, stomp on your dreams, are too judgmental, have different values, and don't have your back during the difficult times in life, that is not a friend. To have a friend, you must be a friend. Sometimes in life, as you grow, your friends will either grow or they will go. It encourages us to surround ourselves with people who respect and reflect our values, our goals, our interests, and our lifestyle. It continues by saying, when I think of any of my successes, I am thankful to God from whom all blessings flow and for my family and friends that enrich my life. Over the years, my phone book has changed because I've changed for the better. At first, you think you're going to be alone, but after a while, God brings new people into your life and they show up in your life. And that makes your life so much sweeter and easier to endure. Remember what your forefathers used to say. Birds of a feather flock together. If you're an eagle, don't hang around chickens because chickens don't fly. I love the Lord and I thank him for all that he does in my life. Therefore, this individual was passing this on to me. Yes, I do love Jesus. He is the source of my existence and he is my Savior. He keeps me functioning each and every day, and without him, I could do nothing and I would be nothing. Without him, I am nothing, but with him, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengtheneth me. So it concludes by saying, be positive. There's a thought. Be progressive. Take time to make a positive difference in someone else's life today. Walk by faith, not by sight, and receive God's blessing. Isn't that good? Don't you just kind of feel the Rocky in you wanting to drink about four raw eggs and go out on a 3-mile run? Probably not. How about three cups of coffee and the buffet at Chabuka's? Does it at least make you want to do that? Yeah. Would you just find someone and look at them and say, you can do it? We're arriving at part two of a series I've entitled Thinking Big in Small Places. Each and every one of us have not only the opportunity to think big, but we also have the temptation to think and to behave in small ways. This whole series is about reminding us not to think small about ourselves and not to think small about our life, but to think tall. Tall because of who Christ is in us. Now, last week, we began by looking at the story of a man who had been lame since birth. Have you ever ran into people that they don't even have to work very hard at it? They are just lame. This is that guy. He spent his entire life begging for money in front of the church, or in that day and time, they called it the temple. And he lived enslaved to a poverty mentality. Do you realize that poverty is more than what you possess on the outside? Poverty is also what you think and how you think on the inside. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 7, as a man thinks, so is he. So this story is a reflection of how he thought. And based on what he was thinking and how he was thinking, he lined his living up with that thinking, and so was he. Now each day it required from him, since birth, to live in this small place in his life. That's something else that each of us have in common. Each of us have something in our lives beyond all of our strengths and beyond all of our gifts and beyond all of our talents. Each of us have something in our life that could be likened to a small place. And it's from that small place that we think small and therefore we act small. Or as in this story, we think we're lame, so when this part of our life comes to the table of life, we behave lame. Now, see, being lame came natural to him because he had been lame since birth. And this was not just his liability, it was his disability. Back then, when he would go out in his little wheelchair, he would be able to park in front of all the stores because he had the little blue thing to hang from the little mirror on his chariot. He was disabled. Until one day. Shout one day. One day, in the courts of God's presence, Scripture says in Psalms 84 and verse 10, one day can change everything about the 1,000 days that we've lived lame elsewhere. This began as any normal day. Someone came over to help this lame man, and they came over to clean, to change, to cook, and then to carry him to his lame place of asking, which was no longer asking great things from God, supernatural things from God, but little things and lame things from the people of God. Let's just take a moment and look behind the music at the true holy word story here. You see, this guy had developed this mentality that everybody owed him something. That the reason he wasn't further ahead in life is because somebody had not given him the things that he had deserved. See, since he was lame, since birth, he played the blame game. For years he blamed his mom. For years he blamed his dad. For years he blamed his upbringing. For years he looked back and he blamed all of the bad things that happened in his life. And as a result, he figured in his small thinking that this is all I've ever been, so therefore this is all I will ever be. He's not unlike many of us in this room. Many of us have looked at our life and we've looked back over the course of the events in our life, and we can more quickly remember those things in our life that can make us lame and small, rather than looking back and thanking God for all the things he's brought us through and brought out of us, and looking at our life like it can still be tall. And so we tend to walk through life thinking, this is all I've ever been, and therefore, this is all I will ever be. And so like the lame man, we tend to spend our life living just according to the natural limitations. And we ask from others instead of asking from God. And because we're only expecting something from others instead of God, everything we ask is ask in small portions. Whereas God has always been an asker. He says, ask of me. And I'll not just give you a little. He says in the Old Testament, ask of me and I will give you the nations. Seek me and I can be found. Knock on my door and I will open up that door and give to you what you can't give and do for yourselves. That should make each and every one of us refuse to be hindered any longer by that smaller place in our life than any other place. And we should refuse being lame. And we should move from acting and looking and speaking small things into thinking big things, asking mighty things, asking things that are beyond what we could think or imagine, but are in the hands of what God can do. For in the hands of God, nothing is impossible. Now, everything was going according to plan. This guy had lived all of his life until now. He's an adult. And he's going from one place to another place, from one person to another person, and he's got this little tin cup in his hand. And he has this mentality of, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me. Give to me, give to me, give to me. Scripture says that there were people that carried him into the temple. So he began to live thinking that everybody should be carrying him. Whew. A little bit of that Cajun came up inside of me. You know, friend, if we're not careful, we'll start to live that way. We'll expect everyone else to work harder on our marriage than we are. Shout, something's wrong. We'll expect others to work harder on our Christianity than we are. We'll expect everyone to do for us what God says is only possible through us. Sometimes the reason we're not blessed is because we're not obedient. Delayed obedience always leads to delayed abundance. And do you know, this morning there are many of us looking at our life through the filter of living small. And God keeps saying to that filter, you need to put that filter down and just be obedient. And because we can't see any other way to get from point A to point B, or from our curse to our blessing, we hold on to the filter. One of the areas that I think is most clear that God asks obedience in is of our giving. He says that we are to give of ourselves, and that we are to give of ourselves in every way, shape, and form. One of the things that frees our relationships to be tall and not small is the giving of forgiveness. And what God is saying to each of us is, I know the depth of your wound. I know what you've been through. I know what you're fearing. I know what you're feeling. If you spend your life looking through the filter of what you've been through, you will always think small, and you will never give the thing that I am asking for you to give obediently, and that's the gift of forgiveness. That's what you're to put in the offering plate when it goes by. That's what you're to put in the altar when you come, is the forgiveness of others. You are to forgive them just as I have what? Forgiven you. And we think small. And we think small in terms of, if I give them forgiveness, they'll just hurt me again. They'll just let me down again. And so to protect myself and to control my wound and to control my pain, I'm not going to be obedient and I'm not going to be a giver of forgiveness. And when you make that decision to be disobedient, understand that your abundance and your blessing is tied up in that decision. Because delayed obedience always delays your abundance. And God looks down and he says, man, you're thinking small. In that spirit of unforgiveness, you are thinking small. I want you to think tall. The filter that I want you to take into every relationship is the filter of the cross. The cross stood taller than anything smaller that day at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And it didn't just work then, but it'll work now. And sunshine, if you'll get up on that cross and you'll forgive those around you, you will find in giving others what they need and what I gave to them, you'll receive for yourself, and you'll no longer live trapped in small places, but you'll be freed into tall places. See, God's really into giving. The offering is another example, the financial offering. If you think small, you'll take your finances and you'll think to yourself, now, if I surrender obediently 10% of my income, there is no way that the 90% can cover the 110% that I'm in hock to, that I owe. Because for most American people, we have more days in the month than we have income for the month. And everybody said credit. It might be good for us to start leaving home without our American Express card, but that's another sermon. When we think small, we hold on to the 100%. And God looks at it and he says, wow, they're thinking small. They're taking me out of the equation of their life. He says to us, think tall. Think in such a way that it demands me to be a part of what you're doing. That's what obedience does. When you obey God, it demands Him to come and be a part of what you're doing. It's not fancy, but obedience works. Thank you so much. I'm going to stay right here for a minute and feel the love. Obedience isn't fancy, but it works because it demands and it draws God into your situation. So God's a giver. And I think each of us understand that. And so in our hearts, there really is a desire to give. And yet in this lame man's life, he had gotten so used to getting that now he drew an inaccurate conclusion that everybody owed him something. He looked at the person who came over and cooked. Some of you are wondering, is that a Greek word, cook? Is that a Hebrew word? I'm going to keep going. And he's thinking, okay, now that one came over to cook. This one came over to clean. This one came over to change my spiritual diaper. And then this group came and they carried me. And so anytime in his life something went wrong, he carried that mentality of being in a small place and a small place being in him into everything and into everyone. He looked at relationships in terms of what can I get out of them? What have they come into my life to give me? And he lost sight of what brings us the fullness of God's joy, and that is the giving of ourselves that others might have more as a result of us being in their life. Most Sundays you hear me look at you and say, the world is a better place because you live in it. Now get out there and make it a better place. In order for that to happen and be more than a cliche and a bumper sticker slogan, it has to be something that every day you commit yourself to. I am going to look at the people in my life and I'm going to commit to them. That as long as they're around me, their world is going to be a better place. Now here in Scripture, this guy felt like in order for his world to be better, though, everybody ask not something of him, but ask of him, what can I do for you? In this 21st century church, this is one of the things that really concerns my heart, is too often many Christians come to church and they're not coming looking for what they can do for their country or looking what they can do for their church. It's all about a spiritual menu of, now what can the church do for me? What can the church do for us? Let's get our little checklist out, okay? Pastor is 23 years old with 50 years of pastoral experience. Check. Pastor only preaches 20 minutes. Check. Mate. The worship is loud, but not too loud. Check. They sing only the songs I like. Check. I felt God. Check. Chicken skin. Well, I was feeling God. Extra credit check. The people prayed for me and I was instantaneously healed, even though I flew in 20 years of disobedience. Triple check. This church is really working for me. Drop my kids off at the nursery and they'll raise them for me. Check. Drop my teenagers, more commonly known as the spawn of Satan, off at the youth room. Wow! This church really works for me. Woo! Got a cafe? Free coffee? Check. Pay for the latte? X. Went to church today and got it all in an hour. Wasn't convicted, wasn't challenged, didn't have to walk by faith, didn't have to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. This is the church for me. Would everybody just take a big gulp? Have you all ever tried the big gulp down at the old Tiger Mart? This story is in many ways a sad picture that reflects many of the ideas that people come to church with in the 21st century church. And what's scary is when someone sets you up to come to a church like this, which is a Holy Ghost takeover church. And it kind of messes you up when you don't know the order of the service. When they're a little too loud and a little too long. And they're more concerned about stepping on God's toes than your toes. Kind of mess you up when you have to go to Scripture and say, now is that in the Bible? the gifts of, who was it he said? Well, I've never experienced that before. But something in you says, but it's still me. Kind of messes you up, doesn't it? You ever been messed up at Dominion? Say amen. Yeah. Now, we don't set out to mess you up, but if that happens along the way, hallelujah. So, this guy, he's just so lame. He is just not working at his life at all. But he expects everyone else to work it for him. He's selfish, and he is the embodiment of the unholy Trinity. It's all about me, myself, and I. He's like a little king. He's like a little emperor who can't dance and have a groove, but he has one. So here he is. He's sitting out in front of the church. And the King James Version says he holds his little tin cup up, and as everybody comes by, alms, alms. What he's really saying in everyday language is silver and gold. Show me the money. I take American Express, MasterCard, Diners Club. He's saying that. And so he goes through his life living at this level. Now, if you're out there living at this level, raise your hand and say, that's me. You know who you are. Because you're the one screaming, how long before we get to the free coffee and the free chocolate bar? I need it really bad. He's messed me up. Yeah. But that's good for you. Do you know, I had a man in this church one time tell me, you know, if you're not stepping on my toes, then I kind of assume you've stopped praying. And I looked at him without flinching and said, huh, I'll tell you who needs to pray in this conversation is you. I didn't really say that. Well, I kind of did. But where are you this morning? If you see that about your life, recognize that God is about to tell you, stop it. No, that's not enough. This guy living in that position was out there minding his own business. This was his business. I mean, this was the hard one in the Acts chapter 3 experience. He was out there selling his goods. And his goods was, what have you done for me lately? And so in that point, in that moment, in that season, God told him no. Peter and John walk by. They're the apostles and disciples of Christ. And he asks them. And they look at him and say, no. No. And they say, silver and gold have we none. But what we have, we will give to you. And from this, we learn that sometimes when God says no, it's because he is ready for us to experience something better. Do you know something good can become the enemy of something better? That something comfortable can become the enemy of his conviction? His conviction is always to edify and to build you up. It's like a little hook that it pulls you out of the small places and it shows you the tall places he's reserved for you. So, have you got your Bibles ready? Let's hold them up. How many of you have got your Bibles? Oh, let's hold them up. How many King James Versions? If you brought your King James Version, hold your King James Version up. How many of you brought the New International Version? Wow. How many of you have the Message? Thank you very much. How many of you have the New American Standard Bible? How many of you have the Thompson Chain Reference? How many of you have the Dakes Annotated? How many of you have your Sports Illustrated? Something's wrong in the local church when people hold up more of them than the Bible. But verse 6 says this. Are you there? Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Peter said, I'll give you, lame man, what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Come on, sunshine. God made something in you in the image of a conqueror and a king. It's going to be more difficult now for you to sit in the small place than to walk in the tall place. So by faith, get up and walk. Or as Sergeant Carter would say to Gomer Pyle, move it, move it, move it. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and he helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were what? Healed and strengthened. He jumped up. He stood on his feet. There was some personal responsibility. I can't tell you how many times as I travel and speak and pray for people, I'm sure none of you are guilty of this here, and you give them that word from God that releases the presence of an overcoming King and an overcoming God, and that word rights everything wrong in their life. They don't want to get up and walk. They don't really want their ankle bones healed. They don't really want their faith to be triumphant. I watch them with this almost small mentality say, now will you carry me back to my small place because it's more comfortable. I can depend on others instead of on myself. That's thinking small and not tall. God in every one of our lives will bring us to the place that He says, okay, sunshine, it's time to get up and move. Your faith has been here long enough. The preacher can't move it for you. The enemy is not busy working against you. This is my word for you. Get up, be mature, grow up. You've got a life. Now live it abundantly. In every trial, there comes that place where God says, okay, got your invitation to the pity party. Came, we had cake, we drank punch, we played pin the tail on the donkey, but now it's time, sunshine, for you to get up and rise up and speak up and shut up. Thank you very much. And what was awesome about this lame man was he got it. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. And from there he went walking, leaping, and praising God. And it says, then he went into the temple for himself. Everybody else had been there. Everyone else had seen it, done it, and walked out with the t-shirt. But this was his chance. He didn't have to be ripped off with somebody else's experience or secondhand knowledge and testimony of who God was and who God could be. But he rose up. He jumped up. He leaped up. He went walking and praising God. And he was saying to himself as he did, I am not lame. I am not small. But I am tall and triumphant of all. I am what the Bible says I am. I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. I don't have to think through my feet. I can think through the mind of Christ. And behold, I have had a moment with Him. And that moment in that one day changed the 1,000 days I had been elsewhere. Just because you're lame, and just because you have been lame most of your life, it doesn't mean that you have to be lame the rest of your life. It begins the moment you start thinking big in small places. Now, I'm going to give you one little hors d'oeuvre, and then we're going to go into thinking tall. So get all your small things. Get them ready. Pack them in your little spiritual suitcases that you have with you this morning. Pack them all up, because you're going to leave them here when you leave today. And you're just going to go out and obey. It might not be flashy. You might not be the person on the next reality TV show this week. You might not have Ed McMahon visit your house, but you know what? God will be in your house. And not just in your house, He'll be in your heart. And not just in your heart, He'll use your hands, and you'll go from being the carried to carrying others. How many of you have been in church more than 5 years of your life? Look around. Wow. How many of you have been in church more than 10 years of your life? 15 years. 20 years. 25 years. How many of you came over with Noah in the ark? Here's the little hors d'oeuvre today. Be positive. Do you know there is another way of looking at life? When you think small, you talk negative. You talk down. You speak, and it's your handicap. It's your liability. It's your disability. It makes you lame. You become like the little guy in front of the chimple. That's right, that's a Hebrew word. It means church and temple. So so, you chimple goers. Be positive. Start your day with a positive confession. Start your day with a positive confession. What are you going to tell those around you you haven't already told them a million times? Cricket, cricket, cricket. If you don't have a positive I think we're done. I'm not finished, but we're done. If you don't have a positive confession, invest in getting one. If you don't have one, borrow one from the Word. Psalms 18 says, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength, and it's God that makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle, and my arms can bend a bow of bronze. He gives me his shield of victory, and his right hand sustains me. He stoops down to make me great. He broadens the path beneath me so that I will not turn my ankle when I get up and move up to the deluxe apartment in the sky." If that doesn't work, borrow two confessions and call me in the morning. One of my other favorites is found when David is standing before his giant. His giant was huge until he stood tall. And then he went from standing tall in front of his giant to standing tall over his giant. The giant never changed sizes on the outside, but when you get the word of God and it gets big in you, then God in you gets taller than anything on the outside, and suddenly the tall things on the outside that was so foreboding before you got the word are now small after you thought tall. So David had a few small places in his life, or some giants he had to make small with the word. And he's standing before the giant and he says, "Oh giant, you have come against me from New York with sword and spear and javelin. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down, and I will cut off your head. Today I will give your carcass and the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know in my life that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here in my life and in the audience of my life will know that he did not save me by sword or spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and he has saved me with his word, and his word has used my hands. And behold, it says, as the giant moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly to the battle line to meet him." Now, when you don't have a word, and the word doesn't have you, everything in you thinks small. And so therefore, every weapon that the enemy has formed against you looks tall. And because it's taller than you, you run from it. But on the other hand, when you come over here, move yourself to the place where God is tall. Doesn't just think tall, but acts through you tall. You suddenly begin to run toward your giant like the lame man. You're by the word of God pulled up at your ankle bones, at your feet, and you're suddenly on the move. And suddenly the more you move, the more you feel like moving. And you go from walking and not fainting to running and not being weary to leaping and not caring what other people think. Because last week I left you walking and leaping and praising God. Have you got the progression? Over here is a tall enemy. Shall tall. Over here is the small place that many times you and I live in. We're like the lame man. But when we stay here in front of the courts of the Lord long enough, the Word gets in us. We get in the Word, and suddenly we become tall. Suddenly the Word just picks us up. And at first we just walk, because we've never walked by faith in this area of our life before. It doesn't take you long to walk by faith and not be weary or not faint, to want to start running. And then you begin to realize, I'm not getting weary. I got some energy left in the middle of my battle with the giant to leap and praise the Lord. The key to being victorious in life is letting the Word get bigger in you than the bigness of the world around you. So for everyone gathered here in the temple this morning, I'd like to just ask you, where you're seated, to think about it being symbolic of the place in your life you tend to go. And you hear God saying, don't go there. But you tend to go there in your thinking, in your doing, and in your misbehaving. And I want you to think today like the lame man thought. That small in God's word and will always gives way to tall. I want you to think about the small places in your life that you've been living in. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I want you in that moment to see yourself by faith standing tall in the small place. What is it? See, for some in this room, it's with a heart filled with sin. You're not right with God. You've either never made Him your Lord and Savior, or you've stopped making Him your Lord and Savior. And as we think as a group of people about the small place that we're going to stand up to in just a moment and become tall, as we think, we're all going to just close our eyes for a moment. We're going to all bow our heads. And we're going to all come before the King, before the Conqueror. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask each and every one of you personally, with a bowed head and a closed heart and closed eyes, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? The second question is real close to it. And that would be, have you forgotten and forsaken and run from your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? With heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, and you would like a moment to run to the Lord and make Him for the first time or for the next time your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I want you quickly to just put your hand up and put it right back down. And when you do, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, you're joining with the six or seven who've already raised their hands, and you're saying, Pastor, give me a chance to make the Lord Jesus my Savior. There's still time. You're putting your hands up, and you're putting them back down, and you're saying, not only am I leaving my small place in my thinking, but I'm leaving the place that I've been small without God for the place I can become tall with God. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, there's still time to raise your hand and with that raised hand say, I'd like to give my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and make Him my Savior. Quickly now, there's still time. You'll join six or seven people who raised their hands. Now as Waiting sings this, the altar call has begun in the heart of every person. As she sings this, make this your prayer. You're surrendering your small places. So not only can you think big, but you can come up tall. Go ahead, let go. Savior. Now, if you're ready to surrender your small places for tall places, as she sings again, stand to your feet. Raise your hands and let the small places go.
I surrender all to Him. I freely.
Go ahead. I remember singing this in Flor Vista Baptist Church, and God was just as real then as He is now. He'll never leave you.
Never love and trust.
He'll never forsake you.
And it's in His presence I'll daily live. And I surrender. I surrender all.
I surrender everything, Lord. All of my hurt, all of my heartache, all of my inferiority, all of my timidity, all of my sin, all of my failures that I believe kept me from my future and have kept me small, I surrender them all. Just a moment ago, I asked those who had never given their heart to the Lord, or those that needed to rededicate their heart to the Lord, to raise their hands. I'm going to ask something courageous of you, and that's just simply to move. They spoke to Him and they said, move. Leave the place that you were when you got here for the place God will take you to when you leave. So this morning, if you raised your hand and you said, Pastor, I'd like to give my heart to the Lord. I'd like to rededicate my life to the Lord. I want you to show strength and courage. And I want you to slip from where you are quickly right now and come to the front. Come and keep coming. There were six or seven. Let this house learn to be very confident in this act. That this is not a sign of what makes you worry about what they think. This is a sign that shows and says what God thinks. So if you raised your hand, young people, come on down. The altars are open. There's still time. If maybe you didn't raise your hand, but your heart was raising its hand, come and keep coming. Right now, this is a time for people to give their hearts to the Lord. Our prayer team in this chapel are going to come and stand around each of these individuals. And as each of them begin to specifically and personally pray for them right where they are and lead them to the Lord, I'm going to give us opportunity as a congregation to conclude this time together and to give ourselves an opportunity to make sure our hearts are right with God. Would you take this moment and as you stand prayerfully and reverently, would you just close your eyes and hear your words make things right with God? Would each of us repeat this prayer that I lead us in now? Heavenly Father, I was born to walk by faith and not by sight. I was born to be blessed and not burdened. I was born to be an overcomer and a conqueror. This morning, I surrender every lame thing in my life, from my sin to my sickness, to my shortcomings. Forgive me, Lord, I pray. Wash my heart. Save my heart. Make it whole so that my feet of faith can walk, can leap, and praise. I call You my Savior and my Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Doesn't it feel better just getting your heart right? Aren't you glad it doesn't come on the installment plan and you have to wait weeks and months for the new heart to come in? Would you just take this moment and live out Scripture and right where you're standing one more time? You're obviously not going to be able to walk and leap there, but you can praise. Would you just let out a praise? Go ahead. Thank you, baby doll. Now what? I'll tell you what now. Free coffee and candy for each of the first-time visitors in the cafe. The rest of you can come back and say good morning and greet each other with a blessed word and a positive confession. Remember, this world is a better place because you're in it. Let's get out there and make it bigger. God bless you. We love you. Amen.